All right, let's get started this morning. Proverbs 22:29 is going to be our main passage, and Micah Rees, if you'll get that for us. Proverbs 22:29, and then Lem, if you'll get it the second time, Proverbs 22:29. Then if I can get Colossians 3:23, IL, if you'll get that for us. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Sam, if you'll get that, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Then if we can get 1 Peter 2 and verse 12, Daniel Swope, if you'll get that, 1 Peter 2:12. And then lastly, Brian DuBois, if you'll get Proverbs 22:29, the final time there. I think that's the third time. All right. I can remember Pastor Greg teaching us as disciples. He would often teach us to strive for excellence, excellence in our ministry, involvement, whatever it was we were involved in, bands, dramas, any outreach, to strive for excellence. So personally in ministry involvement, but then corporately as a whole, there was put into us this approach of excellence. And so what I want to look at this morning is concert excellence, as we've been looking at and revisiting concert ministry. For our 180 concert ministry, we as the Prescott congregation, the mother church of all mother churches, we set the standard. And especially now that we live stream our 180s, again, even more, there's such a greater platform on the weekly. So we set the standard. We've been doing this ministry the longest. Churches will continue to reference us and everything we're doing. So it's very important, number one, from a biblical standpoint, and number two, from a discipleship standpoint, for us to strive for excellence. Pastor Greg has said of excellence, when you want to be excellent, you want to do everything in line with God. Secondly, Pastor Greg, another quote I have here, discipleship is internal excellence. In other words, it has to start in you. So let's look at Proverbs 22, verse 29.
Do you see people skilled in their work? They will work for kings, not for ordinary people.
Okay. Men who are skilled, his word says, in their work will stand before kings, not ordinary people. Or New King James Version says, do you see a man who excels in his word or in his work? So let's look at this, concert excellence. First, let's define what is excellence. Excellence, really, how do you encompass it? It is, number one, an approach, how you approach life, how you approach ministry, how you approach any detail or arena of life. It's a perspective. Excellence is a perspective on how you see things, how you filter things, how you interpret things. Excellence is an attitude. It has to start in you. It has to be at work in you. It's an attitude of I'm going to strive for this. Finally, it's a mindset. Eventually, when you are working towards excellence, in pursuit of excellence, it becomes the way you think. It's second nature. It's how you approach everything. One definition of excellence reads, it represents a commitment to greatness, a continuous improvement, and delivering the highest possible standard. Everything's elevated with excellence. One author said, excellence is the combination of thousands of details executed perfectly. It's getting down to the roots of things, seeing how it works, and every possible detail is going to be done perfectly. So all of this teaches us that excellence is not a passive thing. You can't passively be excellent. Excellence is an intentional thing. It's absolutely a settled choice and decision. I am going to be excellence. Excellent. I am going to strive for it. I am going to commit myself to it. Right? You think about the contrast. You can't be lazy and excellent. At the same time, you can't. It just won't work. It takes work. It takes commitment and dedication. Secondly, you can't blame others for a lack of excellence if you yourself aren't striving for it, right? Oftentimes, you maybe I've challenged men or disciples in that can be elevated. That should have been and whatever it is because I'm trying to bring excellence. It's very, very incorrect when every time you deal with them, it's well, but so and so. Well, that could have been, but they. Yeah, but they. Okay, so. But what about you? You have part in that. So excellence requires responsibility. You have to take personal ownership of excellence in every arena of life. Will Guidara, he said these words, "The way you do one thing is the way you do everything." Okay, so excellence now isn't just I'm excellent here, but I'm not excellent there. No, where whatever arena, it will spill over into other areas of your life. So the way you do one thing, the way you put away chairs is how you do other things. Probably how the way you put away your clothes or don't, right? The way you maintain your vehicle, the way you talk to your wife is the way you talk to... Right, all the different arenas of life, it actually plays out into every single arena. So learning excellence, it starts with an honest assessment of self. You have to look at your life and ask the question, am I excellent? And now that's a hard question to answer, right? But you can ask then, am I seeking excellence? Do I strive for it? Am I in pursuit of it? Because it will show. It will show. Let's read again Proverbs 22:29.
Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will stand, or he will not stand before unknown men.
Okay, so he excels in his work. That's where it's going to show. It's going to show in your work. It's going to show in how you work things out. It's going to show in your performance. It's going to show what's in here, Jesus says, in your heart, comes out in life. It flows out into every arena. So how do you know if you're excellent? What do you do in your ministry? How do you approach it? What you want to know if you're excellent? How do you view and approach parenting? How do you view and approach marriage? Are you excellent? How do you prepare for your altar call? How does your band prepare for its ministry? How does your drama team prepare for its dramas? Right? How do you manage what's been given to you? How do you manage and take care of the things that God has put in your hands to steward? How do you respond when things aren't excellent? How do you respond when things aren't maybe at the level they could be or even should be? It's going to show in your work. A man who excels in his work, a man who takes pride in his work, a man who says, I want this to be the very best possible in his altar call, a man who says, I want the best for my life in my finances, right? Again, it's all encompassing. You won't have an excellent concert ministry if you are not striving for it in your own life. It's very, very vital to recognize that. How you do one thing is how you do everything. And that's very important to remember. So let's look secondly then at who is excellence for. Who is excellence for? And I want to ask that question. What do you think? Who is excellence for?
It's for,
yeah. For God. Okay, it's for God. Yeah.
Unbelievers.
Okay, it's for unbelievers. Yeah. You were saying something, John?
I was going to say
that. You were saying that? Okay, yeah. Yeah, so, and those are really who it's for. It's for God, and Daniel says unbelievers, but it would be not just for unbelievers, it's for people. It's for people in general. So, excellence is for God first. Let's read Colossians 3:23.
Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people.
Okay, so here, in whatever you do, in everything you do, do it for God first. So if it's concert ministry, I'm going to be excellent. Why? Because I'm doing something for God. I'm doing something that represents God. Right? In my altar calls, I'm doing it for God. So I want it to be the best possible. I'm doing it for the Lord, not for men, my audience of one. Let's read 1 Corinthians 10:31.
Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Okay, here's a harmony to this verse in Colossians. And again, whatever you do, whatever it is, right? Again, in every detail of life, do it all for the glory of God. If you're serving in you got people serving in cafe, do it for God. You're serving and representing God. If you're in video, do it for God. If you're in sound, do it for God. If you're in a band, do it for God. Excellence is to God first, because everything we do is for the King. That's the point. That's the idea we have to get across to us. Is this suitable for a king? Is this pleasing to the king? Is this acceptable to the king? Is how I'm viewing this, approaching this, valuable enough to present to a king? And that's what our text is teaching us. When you serve, when you work, when you labor like you're working, serving, and laboring for a king, guess what? You'll find yourself there. You'll find yourself there. When you start, and that's your attitude and heart approach, you're going to find yourself in the presence of kings, not ordinary men, not unknown men, another translation says. You're going to find yourself among kings, because that's how you approach life. And so this is, again, going back to Pastor Greg speaking of excellence in my discipleship, taught me and many of the disciples how to approach all of life, how to approach every arena of life, that ministry is unto God first. I minister to the audience of one. I am presenting my best. I'm presenting those first fruits to God first, because He deserves excellence. He deserves excellence. So if it's a Bible study, am I doing it excellent? If it's an altar call, am I doing it excellent? If it's leading an outreach, am I doing it excellence? Or whatever avenue or arena you help and minister in 180, is it excellent? Are you applying that? So it's to God first. Secondly, it's to people. Excellence is for people. And this is the next category. Let's read 1 Peter 2:12.
Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors, and even if they accuse you of wrongdoing, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when He judges the world.
Okay, so here, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. And you know, Daniel said earlier, it's to unbelievers. Yes, unbelievers need to see excellence in Christians. Unbelievers need to see excellence in those that represent our church. Unbelievers need to see excellence in everything we do. And it speaks. It speaks. It communicates something greater. And when people come against you, when unbelievers come against you, they're going to say, man, he's so excellent. Basically, that's what they did with Daniel, isn't it? How do we get Daniel in the book of Daniel? How do we trap him? They couldn't find any error in him because he was excellent. So let's attack his faith. They had nothing else. They had no smear campaign on him because everything he did was excellent. Why? Because it was to God first. That's why it was so important that he honored God. David, it speaks of his excellence. It speaks of his care and in everything that he did. And in that, he's highlighted as a man after God's own heart. So when we start with excellence towards God first, because I'm doing this for the king, it will then spill over into excellence for people or towards people. You know, many times we can approach what we're doing very selfishly. We can approach our ministry and things we're involved with. It's really not about other people, it's about ourselves. And so Will Guidara says these words, serve your guests. There's a book he wrote called Unreasonable Doubt. And in it, Unreasonable Hospitality. And in that, he talks about serving people with the greatest, with your greatest. And in that, there's a quote from there. He says, serve your guests, not your ego. You know how many times we fail in excellence because we're trying to serve ego? Where we miss the mark in excellence because we're serving ourselves. You know what? In excellence, can I be honest with you? You don't always have to be right. Even if you are, you got to figure out how to communicate that. You don't always have to correct people. Even if they desperately need it, you can inspire them though. You don't have to speak to everything immediately in front of other people and embarrass people. Excellence is not about your ego. You got to think, what does someone need? How can I help elevate what they're involved with? How can I help them understand excellence and make it become their own passion and embrace it for themselves? How can I be an example of excellence that raises the bar? Pastor Greg, our pastor, has exemplified excellence. As far back as my days in discipleship, he exemplified it and I desired it. In pursuit of it, he cultivated it in me. And eventually I made it my own. There are things that I point out when we're training concert directors. There's things that I point out to them because I'm trying to help them capture an eye for excellence, a heart for excellence. Because how you do one thing is how you do everything. How you write your altar calls today is how you'll preach tomorrow. How you prepare and write your Bible studies today is how you'll preach tomorrow. How you manage your marriage today is really how you're going to do that tomorrow. So is it excellent? Am I giving my best to it? And that is very important. So let's close. Let's talk about concert excellence then. With this foundation and understanding now, we can apply it to the concert ministry. What we are doing is for God, and it's unto people. Right? We're doing this in order to build the kingdom of heaven. We need to see fruit. We need to see conversions. And we need to make disciples. We need to make disciples. That's what we are called to. So, if that's what we need to be doing, building the kingdom and making disciples, then we shouldn't do it halfway. Right? Then why do it halfway? Shouldn't it be wholehearted? Shouldn't we encourage and cultivate an excellent heart towards it? I teach this idea of simple excellence. You know, you don't have to be, excellence doesn't mean everything has to be out of your reach. Simple excellence is we can keep things simple, but execute it great. And there's something that's just amazing about simple things. Simple things done well. Simple things done perfectly, right? As Will says in that book, excellence is 1,000 little details executed perfectly. We can do small things well. And that will help you do big things well. Finally then, I love this quote in that book, Unreasonable Hospitality. Will Goddard teaches about the one-inch rule. What this is all about is a fine dining restaurant that went from no Michelin stars to 4 Michelin stars. And it all came down to hospitality and doing things excellent. And he teaches this idea of the one-inch rule. When he talked about when you plate and serve a guest, be excellent down to the last inch. That sometimes in fine dining, the chef will prepare a plate excellent. Every ingredient in perfect place and position. Presentable and beautiful. Appetizing and pulling you in. But if that server comes and at the coming down, angles that plate wrong, drops it a little bit, everything on the plate shifts. What was now excellent is no longer excellent. So in it, this idea of the one-inch rule, down to the last inch, I'm going to be excellent. Down to the last inch, I'm going to maintain that standard. So how does that work out for us? Deliver your best down to the last detail of your ministry. Down to the last lyric. Do it excellent. Down to the last note, do it excellent. Down to the last line, do it excellent. Down to the last, maybe, arena of service. You encounter a guest, you greet them, right? Be excellent down to the last service of getting them to their seat, getting them a drink, whatever that looks like. Be excellent in your testimony or your altar call down to your last word. Maintain that. And why? But why? Because it's for God and two people. Finally, Walt Disney said this quote, people can feel perfection. People can feel perfection. The great story behind that quote is they were putting together a ride in Disneyland and he wanted animatronic animals. And so he's looking at this first presentation of a bird. It whistles, it sings, it moves, it flutters its wings. He goes, but it's not breathing. And they said, well, like, there's going to be so many, the bird is not the focus. There's going to be so many other things happening on this ride. You know, why does it matter if it breathes? And he said, because people can feel perfection. You can feel it. When someone executes something well, you feel it. You know the work behind it. It's inspiring. It's motivating. It's capturing. People know when something has been done with excellence. So in all of this, though, don't forget the God factor. Is God will bless your efforts towards excellence. God will move through it. Why? Because God blesses hard work. God blesses men that take their ministry serious. God recognizes and sees it, and he meets you at that place. Let's read again, Proverbs 22:29.
Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men.
You know, there's just a unique factor when you know God smiles on your ministry. There's a unique element. When you feel the presence of God come down, in a testimony, in a song, in a drama, in a video. And you feel the presence of God come down in an altar call. But there's nothing like feeling that anointing. But what is that? God is pleased with it. And he breathes on it. So if you will excel in your work or strive for excellence in what you're working in, you will stand before the king and he's going to bless what you're doing. That's the best. I love when you feel the presence of God in a service, in a concert, in an outreach. It says heaven comes down, it makes all the difference. God will bless your efforts. Okay, let's open for some questions this morning. Questions on this topic, thinking about excellence. Yeah, Micah.
What's kind of the difference between excellence in ministry and then in, at a job where the work kind of the expectation might be different as far as like, you know, you work for somebody that they're not interested in, you know, ministry or stuff like that. So like kind of some of the battles at my work is that like they want just volume, but it's like they also want me to have quality, you know, and it's like, okay, well, I'm capped at 40 hours a week, so like I can give you the best that I can.
Yeah.
Because I hate overtime, so it's like, okay, well, this is, you know, this is the best I can do right now. So kind of how do I approach something like that where it's like they want volume, but they want quality, but it's like they want both at the same time, and it's like, okay, well, you know, what is,
yeah,
you know, what is that approach?
Yeah, you pray, right? God gave Joseph unique wisdom in Potiphar's house, unique wisdom when he was in jail, in prison, right? He ran Potiphar's house. And you think of it, it wasn't a little hut. This was a major commander, right? So he's high in the ranks of society there in Egypt. So to operate the house, the servants, every detail, that was an important job. He had strategy and wisdom. In the jail, he's a prisoner, and the jail keeper's like, bro, you're better at this than I am. You run the prison. Again, there's details there that the Bible doesn't really give us, but he was able to function and operate with strategy. Then ultimately, he's through the wisdom of God able to save not only Egypt, but the nations surrounding and ultimately his own people. Why? Because God gave him supernatural strategy for how to save and reserve for the future, right? And that was huge. We're talking lots and lots of people, hundreds of thousands of people that were saved by his wisdom. So God can give you wisdom. So that's what you do. Number one, pray. Number two is remember you work for God, right? Again, this isn't just in, again, excellence affects every arena of life. So your excellence as a believer doesn't just affect your ministry at church. It should also affect your work performance. So when you're on the job, you're not just working for your boss, you're working still for the king. You're working still for God. And if you will give your all to God, it will show in your work. So pray and ask God, and then remember, even though they're asking for that, I'm working for God, and he'll help you. Yeah, definitely. Because it plays out in every arena. Yeah, Sam.
Do you have any other books related to that topic?
On excellence? That's the most fresh one. I'd have to just give it some thought. Yeah, yeah. Unreasonable Hospitality would be the most recent and does a focus chapter on excellence. But yeah, I'll give that some thought. Yeah.
Pastor, so with excellence, you mentioned one as far as laziness coming into play, fighting that. What are some of the other common things that fight this in men for it striving or coming to fruition and just maximizing that, God?
Yeah, definitely. And there can be a wide range, you're right. So number one could be pride. Pride will fight excellence. And it's like, well, would it? You know, yes. Because sometimes when you try to correct a prideful man who's not doing something excellent, he can't see it. You mistreat people. You are a convert killer. You are a pushy witness. You know, all of those things. So it doesn't matter what you point out in pride, they're not going to receive it. So pride will hurt your excellence. Rejection, right? Your rejection becomes an excuse of why you can't be excellent. Well, I just didn't have what Pastor Greg had. I didn't have his opportunities, or Pastor Jesse, or Pastor Stephen, or anyone else. You look at it, and rejection says, I could never because. that will fight your ability to strive for excellence and see the potential in your own life. I think then carnality, right? So we talked about laziness, but carnality will hinder your excellence. As Pastor Greg said, when you want to be excellent, you want to do everything in line with God. When you want to do everything in line with God, that's going to show in life. Because I want to do right in my marriage, you're going to have an excellent marriage. Because I want to do right and I'm striving for it in parenting, you're going to have some success in that arena. You're going to be open to wisdom. Because I want to be fruitful. I want to be in line with God in that arena, then it's going to flow out. And you're going to analyze how you talk to people, how you build bridges, how you make quick connections. All of that, whatever arena, it starts with doing everything in line with God. So carnality will kill that, won't it? Carnality will destroy that. So I think those are some of the other ways that can play out. Yeah. And no doubt there may be others. Yeah. Daniel?
I'm just thinking about how when you're trying to inspire excellence in others, you're dealing with different personalities. Like some are just like they're wired. They're like, they need minimal direction or motivation. But then there's just some people that are just like, I just have a different mentality in life. What can you do for those that have that different mentality? And you don't want to just constantly be like goading them or, you know, how do
sure.
you inspire that excellence?
Yeah, and every person, like you're saying, is different, so you can't approach it one way, right? So sometimes, maybe in excellence, someone needs to be pumped up, right? You're trying to pump up their confidence, pump up their self-worth, you know, pump up their value and worth. In some way. So you use words that will pump them up, elevate them. There's others in bringing excellence to their life, you've got to pop them, right? Because they're too inflated in their head. They're you know, God's grace on this earth. They already know, right? I've talked with people and you're bringing correction or direction to make something more excellent or more efficient, and they go, no, yeah, I know. Okay, but you didn't do it. No, I know. Yeah, no, I know. So with that is sometimes how you approach that personality or person is gonna look different. So you have to definitely learn how to communicate to people and always tie whichever it is with inspiration. I can't give you key phrases because it's not a one size fits all there, but in it, when you see potential in people, Daniel, whether they get it naturally and quickly or whether they take more work and direction, if you lace it with inspiration, that's going to be your default. You're going to continuously inspire them. You know, but at the end of the day, you're doing good overall. This is just one area, right? You're doing fantastic. This isn't about you. This is about what you're doing, right? And that separates that worth or identity from the poor performance or lack of excellence and whatever. No, I'm just correcting what you're doing. It's not a vote on who you are, right? So it can look different ways. Yeah. Yeah, Tony.
How do you keep excellence long-lasting compared to just like hype?
Yeah, definitely. And that's a good question because it is a it will be a lifelong pursuit. But like we looked in our series on habits, eventually it becomes who you are. So as you are constantly exercising that excellence muscle in whatever arena of life, eventually it just becomes who you are. I had someone ask me one time, how did you see that? I would have never noticed that. I would have never recognize that, and I just answered, just because I've been doing it longer. That's all. I can see that because I strive for excellence. I can recognize that because I strive for excellence, because my mind defaults to that. But again, I've been practicing it for, you know, easily 16 years now, right? because of what my pastor taught me. And there were so many things that he taught me along the way in excellence throughout discipleship and even in correction and redirection and you know, pointing things out when I was a concert director. But even to this day, there's been things he's helped me with. Ah, I didn't see that. I'm going to write that down. Yo, I like that. There's things that he has said, maybe in counseling, that he shares with me so that I can learn. I'll say, I like how you said that. That's good. That's teaching me excellence. So I'm always paying attention. So I think that's the second thing. Number one, it becomes who you are. Number two is you keep striving for it, Tony. You keep wanting to learn it. That's what makes the difference. Yep. Never will there be a point where I've arrived and I'm the epitome of excellence. No, it's always an ongoing and continual maintenance. Yep.
So a two-part question. There's that phrase that jack of all trades, master of none. There's so many things that we can pursue in excellence. How do we determine, how do we prioritize excellence in things? And then secondly, how do we determine what is excellent worthy? What is worthy of excellence? Because there are some things that, you know, we can be excellent in, but is it worth it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that number one, to your first question, is obey God in everything. Put God first, and that makes everything in life excellent. You can't be, you know, it doesn't play out like this. You know, Pastor Greg has said, Christians that stop tithing or never tithe, I've never seen one make it long-term in salvation. I've never seen that. Okay, that's a heavy statement. Why? Because you can't disobey God and make it. But if you are in obedience to God, he's going to highlight things in your life and help you be a more excellent husband, a more excellent father, a more excellent ministry leader. And then he anoints with gifting, right? We read when Moses is building the tabernacle, get Bezalel, for I have anointed him for this task. For this task. Maybe Bezalel was great in many other things, but for that task at that time and at that moment, God says, I'm going to gift him. And God can gift us and equip us, which is why we have the power of the Holy Spirit, right? We read of these ninefold gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what does the Bible tell us? Covet them. Earnestly desire all of them. But earnestly desire the best. In other words, the most appropriate for the time. So I think that's a discernment thing, what God can highlight, what I need to focus on, when I need to focus on it, right? And then you'll retain that excellence. It's not like I focused on one thing, I got good at it, and now I'm focused on this, and I'm good at this, but I'm no longer good at that. No, you maintain that wisdom or that understanding in that arena. Then secondly, yes, what are some things that we can excel in that are important? Well, ultimately, in the book of Daniel, it says those who are wise take with them souls to heaven. So at the end of the day, what's the most wise and excellent thing we can do? Be a soul winner. And again, but when you're focused on God, everything else will come into play. Seek the kingdom of heaven first, then all these things will be added to you. When I put God first, I will be good at finances. When I put God first, I will be good at stewardship of a ministry, right? Or on my job, or fill in the blank. So we move with the seasons and the times, but we always keep God first. And that helps us in that pursuit of excellence. Yeah. Good. Yeah, Daniel.
You made the statement like excellence is almost like transferable. If you feel like you're not excellent in one area but are in another, what can you like actively do to kind of
answer that? Yeah, great question. I think number one, you should pray and ask God. If you recognize, God, I am doing well here in this arena of my life, but I'm not well over here. I'm great with money, I'm just not great with people, right? So, but that's transferable. When you see the lack, you can say, but you've helped me here, I believe you'll help me here. So that's the first thing, pray and ask God. The second thing is analyze. A lot of times with excellence and high performance, you know, high performance people, what you find is they're very specific and focused in whatever they get involved with. They want to learn the ins and out of it, right? They want to grasp and understand it better, whatever that is. And so analyze, where am I falling short here? What is it about finances I'm great at, and what is it about people that I struggle with? Right? You gotta analyze and ask some questions. And as you begin to do that, you'll be able to find maybe where your pitfalls are. You'll be able to find, that's what I'm doing. I get it. I just don't like people, right? Or whatever it is. Or I just like to spend money. That's my problem. It's meeting a need in me. It's not that I need the item. I think it's giving me worth. It's not that I need the item. I think that it's giving me fulfillment or satisfaction. When you break things down and ask questions, it helps you identify where your pitfalls are. So those would be two practical ways you can do, find out where you're falling short and how to transfer it. Yeah, good.
You had said about like taking pride in your work and like excellence, you take pride in your work. So how do you have pride in your work without being like, okay, everything went good because I did so much great? Like, how do you give God glory still for what he's done through you?
Yeah, very good. Number one is you should take pride because it's to God first, right? So, you know, in landscaping, trimming a bush, you can feel really like, yeah, whatever, right? But if I'm trimming this bush for God, if I'm trimming that and making it as beautiful as possible, then guess what? It's gonna be recognized by your boss or, you know, coworkers, etc. Because I'm doing it for God first. But then secondly, we give God praise. We give God praise. Thank you for giving me the ability to work. Thank you for giving me the eye and the attention to detail, right? Thank you for enabling me. Gratitude goes a long way towards God. And again, it sounds so silly sometimes at first. It can feel so awkward, but when you live and work for the audience of one, it will really change how you live and how you do things, right? It gives you a different approach towards it. Yeah, good. Yeah, Pastor Hart.
How do you keep from, if you're pursuing excellence, how do you keep from becoming a micromanager in your excellence?
Very good. Yeah, that's a good question. And I love this quote, great leaders make leaders. And tied to that idea, another quote is, you don't want to have 100 keys, you want to have one key to the front door. So in other words, what happens, micromanagers, they wind up taking all the keys, don't they? Now you're, no one can clean right, so you're the custodian. No one can serve right, so you're the kitchen manager. No one can, right, fill in the blank. And what happens is you wind up holding all the keys. I don't want to hold all the keys. I want one key, and that's the leadership one. And so in that, delegation is important, but through inspiration. There's nothing wrong with setting expectations. Expectations are good. And what you do is you pair that. Look, that didn't meet the level that I'm looking for, but I could see you tried your hardest. So let's think about how you can fix that, right? These are some of the areas I recognize some pitfalls, right? I've had men come to me, concert preachers. They'll preach an altar call and say, Pastor, what can I work on? What did you think, right? And in that, why? Because they recognize there's an expectation. And so in that expectation, they want feedback. How can I improve? And it's not just, well, this is what you did wrong and this and that. And da-da. It's not a cut down. It's, you know what? This went very well. That was executed great. Something you can work on that I felt was this. And many times they're like, yeah, I kind of felt that during the altar call. But then guess what? They sharpen it and rise to the level. There's nothing wrong with expectation. right? Praise gives affirmation. Criticism is an investment. Criticism isn't a bad word, especially if it's constructive. You're making an investment on how you can improve them. So always pair it, finally then, Pastor Hart, with inspiration. If you will pair it with inspiration, but I believe in you. You know, I believe you're capable of this. I remember Pastor Greg telling me one time, you're better than that, Jesse. You're better than that. And I believe you want to be, you want to do that better. Right? As a disciple, he said, you're better than that. So he's telling me who I am. It just didn't show in that event or in that thing. Right? So you always pair it with inspiration. I loved Pastor Greg's story. I heard it a million times as a disciple, but he even used it a numbers of times recently. You know, when he had guys helping him set up in South Africa, they had this, you know, big old hole in the ground that had a metal lid that they'd lock all the equipment in, and they'd have to open that up, take all the equipment out, and set up for church. And one day they're not ready to go at service start time. And Pastor Greg corrected those men and said, how can we reach the world? How can we reach South Africa if we can't even get the equipment set up? And so in that, it's paired with vision. And so one of the guys said, the only thing I heard is we're going to reach South Africa. And in that, he was inspired to do better. He was inspired to work more efficiently and effectively, to have things ready on time. So if you'll pair it with vision and inspiration, that goes a long way. Because you can definitely transmit that excellence to other people. But don't take it over. Help them. Yep. Good. Steve.
I was, my dad, he was a perfectionist. And so, you know, early on in business, I could see it manifesting. I was always angry with my workers. But can you kind of speak to the difference between being a perfectionist, kind of maybe with long lines of Pastor Hart's, versus excellence? Because I find myself kind of going extra and overboard with things a little bit, and how to maybe make sure that that's excellent and not just perfection or whatever.
Yeah, perfectionism though can come back to identity, right? Can come back to rejection. It can come back to your security in life. Perfection can come back to your self-worth. Your value, right? So perfection says you have to be this or you're not anything. You need to be or you're worthless. You should be or, you know, that's a level no one can reach. There's only one perfect human being that ever existed, and that was Jesus. So perfectionism can fall into those traps, whereas excellence is a, like I said in the beginning, it is a approach to life. It's a perspective, it's an attitude and a mindset. It's a desire to do well for the King. And again, when you do that, God accelerates that. And going back to Trevor's question, how do you then, you know, balance pride versus, you know, your relationship with God? He gets the glory. He enabled me to do this. He equipped me with this. It's in his word. I'm just lined up my life with his word. And in that, it's produced excellence. But that's God at work in me. Because God is excellent. Right? Look at creation. And when he was finished, he said, that is pretty good. No, that's not what he said. He said, that is good. Everything he did, he has done a good work in you. God is excellent in everything he does. So we should take on that characteristic. So the difference is I'm lining my life up with God. I'm lining my life up with his expectations. I'm working as unto him. But even if I fall short, there's grace, there's mercy, and there's help in time of need. That's the difference between excellence versus perfectionism can fall into those other categories. You don't reach it, you might as well not exist, right? You're worthless. You'll never amount to anything.
It's
Those are identity statements that perfectionism can twist. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
In pioneering, I think you kind of spoke to this, but I remember Pastor Stephen preached a sermon not that long ago that he was, you know, working 8 hours on the sermon, and someone was like, why are we spending all this time on that? Why need to get some people in church, you know? And I kind of fell into those traps a lot of times. Like, the pastor would say, hey, you need 8 hours on the sermon, and I'm like, you know, pioneering. So is it really, even though you're not, you know, you're kind of spreading yourself thin, you can still have that attitude of excellence,
yep.
In that God's going to just give you grace in that situation, even though you're spreading yourself thin?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's why, Steve, we teach what we teach. Right? So in textual preaching, we could look at any scripture right now, and because I have exercised what my pastor has taught me, I can have a quick 3-point outline done in 5 minutes. I can write, you know, I write these sermonettes for the Wranglers, right? They run about 10 minutes long. It takes me about 30 minutes to write them. Some of them I'm like, man, I need to develop that into a full sermon. That's a good thought, you know? But where does that come from? It comes from an efficient and excellent way of sermon writing that my pastor has taught him, right? So if that was if I was pioneering this late in the row, I could write and have now, if I can get it done in 30 minutes, now I have opportunity for my wife, my kids, outreach, follow-up. Right? That's what we want to do, is help save time. And that's why we teach what we teach. It's to help you be efficient and excellent in it. Yep, so you're not bogged down. Yep, one more, Sam.
You kind of just spoke to my question, but yeah, my question was, has the pursuit of excellence led you to creating practical systems?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, you're managing money, developing sermons, and it sounds like...
Yes, and yes, not just because... In the natural, I wanted to be excellent, but in the supernatural and relationship with God. God makes us excellent. Okay, that's what we have to remember. God makes us excellent. God makes what we do excellent. And we're going to talk about the tension of this next week. I'm talking about concert excellence today, but we're going to talk about concert prayer next week. So it's both at work, both tensions that then allow God to move through it. But yes, absolutely. The more I got to know God, the more I got to know His Word, the more I wanted my life to be pleasing to Him, the better I got at the rest of life. Yeah, absolutely. Because God does that. Good. Very good questions, guys. We'll stop right there.